Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, you know what it means. Bottom of hour one, and all the way through the rest of this hour, it is going to be Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. It's the number one stop that I make every single morning. Roll out of the rack, go to LandryFootball.com. Yes, I get everything I need for college football, but it's also high school recruiting, it's coaching changes, it's NFL, it's the combine, it's Super Bowl Sunday, the draft, everything in between. Want to welcome on right now the namesake, former coach, scout, administrator, everything you can do in college and the pros, he's done it. It is Chris Landry. Chris, welcome. Tell us what's going on with the website, brother.
Well, we are certainly rounding into shape with getting our podcast network going. We're really excited. We've got the SEC one up and going a little bit earlier than the others. We've got Blake Ruffino, who's going to be doing that. It's already started, and then we've got the others that are falling into place, and we'll be starting rolling out mid to late July, covering all the conferences, covering, you know, gaming, handicapping, and the college side as well. We've got a lot of things that we're really excited about, and certainly gonna be breaking it all out the rest of the summer, getting ready for the football season, you know, breaking down school by school, roster by roster, you know, how players were graded coming into the league. Into the out of high school into college, and then how they're graded in college and how they project to the next level. So we've got a lot of breakdowns, really, really enjoying it and just ready to have some football and hope we can have a season that's, even though it's going to be unusual, Chuck, we're looking forward to it.
You know, there's all kinds of, you know, off-season pursuits for writers and radio guys and everybody else. You know, people make a lot of lists a lot of times, and I was reading one from 24/7 Sports. And again, it's not about the accuracy of this, but it was just about the discussion. And they had a list of the top 10 players in the SEC entering 2020. And, you know, Chris, I was talking last week, as a matter of fact. I said the bad news for everybody in the Southeastern Conference is 2019, it wasn't a case of, you know, players in Tuscaloosa. It was available players in Tuscaloosa. And I've never been one to make excuses about injuries or whatever else. You know, you have no choice. Next man up, all of that. But when it's a bunch of freshmen and true freshmen in the SEC, especially in the West, I kind of get it. This top 10 list, five of the top 10 players are Alabama players. Five are everybody else combined.
Yeah, no, listen, they are, for people that think that, you know, for them, it has been a bad year and a couple of bad years where you don't win the title. That's a standard. That's a standard for you now. I mean, everybody else, if you think about it, and we talk about, man, you know, Clemson's consistently good. Look, they're a big power, and look how good Georgia is, and, man, LSU had a great season, you know. For Alabama, it's, man, they haven't won a title in 2 years. Oh, my goodness. They're
the
gold standard. Yeah, what's the problem there? And, you know, it may be, you know, there's no question that they've won more titles under Saban than they're going to win going forward. It's common sense. But, you know, for people that think that, oh, this is a sign that they're going away, they're still going to be in the mix. Don't know whether they're going to win a title. This is going to be a unique year, no doubt. But they're loaded with talent, and they're still the gold standard in the conference and in the country because they have done it over a longer period of time. Not about, hey, great 1 year, not about, you know, it's a long period. They've been the gold standard and still are, and loaded with a lot of talent up throughout the roster, and we'll see how it looks. And it's a good offensive line, as good a running back room as you're going to see. And, you know, I think that they'll be better defensively. And because of the fact they've had to play a lot more guys because of injuries, look, they're still going to be in the mix with the elite team, certainly in the league and in the country.
Yeah, and Jalen Waddle didn't even make the list, I can't even say even. I mean, it's the Southeastern Conference and they're saying only 10, but Jalen Waddle's not on the list. Tell me about that kid's blue sky. Like, what's the possibilities for him? Because, you know, I've talked before. I hope that they don't take him off of special teams like you do sometimes when somebody emerges into the starting lineup. I hope he's still, you know, catching passes and returning kicks.
He is. I agree with you there. And, you know, Nick is not one of those guys that'll say, you know, well, this week we're not going to do that. A lot of people will say that. Well, yeah, you know, hold out. You know, they're lining up against Duke. You're not going to use them in that game. You know, they'll play, and I think they'll use them on special teams. But it's also an entry for some younger guys and some really good players that they've got coming forward to develop in that area. I think he has got elite ability like the other two. I think they've got two receivers that are going to be maybe not go quite as high, but go in that same realm in the draft next year. So they've got two great guys, and talk about roster management. He convinced them that, look, these other two guys, you know, and he does his homework, and he's clued in with the NFL people. I can tell you that firsthand of where these guys will go better than any coach in the country by far. And he said, look, you know, your two teammates getting ready to go really high, that could be you two guys next year. And it helps him because now they can be more of the feature guys. So they're both, I think, have a chance to be really good. And I'm talking about Smith in addition.
So if we go over to Mississippi and we assume that Kylin Hill will be playing for the Bulldogs this year, get inside that coach's room. Get inside that offensive meeting. What do you think Mike Leach is going to do with Kylin Hill?
I can go inside the meeting. Just don't ask me to go inside the mind of Mike Leach. That's a real interesting place. I've been with him to where it just kind of goes into some different areas. I think the potential there is great. What I would do and what I think would be smart is to utilize that young man in an ability with those wide splits, good angles in the run game blocking, and the fact that you vacate the box with defenders, with your ability to throw the quick screen and the quick perimeter throws, the big receivers, you could have a lot of running space. You know, is Mike going to do that with him? You know, it's interesting to see, but that's how I would use him. And I think the guy could be an outstanding player. He's a little bit, built like more of a guy that's going to run in a power scheme and in a more of a run-focused attack. But make no mistake, with a lot of space, he can do a lot of damage. So if he doesn't play well, it's the direct result of probably not using him enough or using him in the right situations, because I think he has a lot of talent. As you said, if indeed would he wants to play, and you know, he better want to play. I think that his statement's fine, but I think he's got a great future onto the next level.
Let's stay in the SEC West for one more kid. Derek Stingley, and again, I said this is 24/7 Sports. It's just another website, and you know, they list, like everybody's going to have their list, at the top of their top 10 players in the SEC for the 2020 season, they list Derek Stingley Jr., and somebody asked me about that. That's actually how it came up. They were like, can you believe he's the best player in the SEC according to them? And I looked at him, I was like, I think he's the best returning player in college football. And I talked about this on the show about a month ago, that, you know, in the offseason, especially when there's no spring practice and all this other stuff, Chris, I have found I've got some time to go back and just watch complete games. And yep, you see so much more than just like cut ups on YouTube. When you watch how a guy carries himself when he's off the ball, you know, all those kind of things. I didn't hesitate. I think Stingley's the best returning player in the game this year.
He's certainly the best corner. He's an elite player. He's got everything, the size, the length, the quickness. There's no question that he's in that group. If you're talking about the best players in college football, he is absolutely in that mix. I think a teammate on the other side of the ball, Ja'Marr Chase, is really good in that category as well. But there's no question. You can put him right there with the Trevor Lawrence type of player, whatever, you know, Justin Fields turns out this coming year. I think Stingley's right there. The big tackle out of Oregon, Sewell, I think he's in that group. And ATN, absolutely, best player in college football, he is in that conversation. And I think he's definitely the best defender in college football, not just the best defensive back.
Let's flip it over to the East quickly. And I've been discussing earlier this week, a couple of different times it's come up, the running back room, what the depth chart's going to look like in Gainesville, Florida, and that – You know, Dan Mullen has really surprised me, and I've given him credit because I didn't know. I shouldn't say he surprised me. I didn't know how he would recruit at a place like UF as the head coach, and we're seeing the results come in, except for running back, and he's had some pretty high-profile misses. They get Lingard transferring in from Miami. Just give me your download about what you think of each of the backs. And I know we've talked about some of them before, but I've never really thought about, you know, the UF running back room as being a little thin, and that's sort of the conversation right now.
So we got like what Pierce, who's got some ability there that is got some speed and power.
Davis.
You've got Davis, who is you know, had the injury issues, but really good. Like his shiftiness, like his hands. Lingard, really loved him coming out of high school. He's a big time player, lots of ability, and he has. I think he's kind of an X factor because I think he can do everything really well and probably has as much upside as anybody in that room. So I think a pretty good group, you know, and, you know, with the, you know, really good tight end, I think a really good quarterback. This is a team that's, you know, going to get better. I think it's always been well coached under Dan for the most part, whether he's been at State or at, you know, in his early tenure in Florida. So I think this offense is going to be pretty good. I think it's got a little bit more pieces around it and a little bit more time to kind of settle into what he wants to do. And yet, of what makes him, people ask me what makes Dan so good, is his ability to kind of morph into whatever his personnel allows him to do. So he doesn't, you know, people say, yeah, it's Dan's offense. Dan's offense is what the players do very well and what the quarterback can do well, what the quarterback can handle. So I'm excited to see what he can do with these backs. It's a good room, I think.
We continue. Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. If you get a subscription there, you get the annual. You're going to have the same one that I have. I got it back renewed maybe end of April or beginning of May, and you get for the whole 12 months. It takes you through everything, folks, from draft night. That's why I was re-upping. But then also NFL free agency to high school recruiting. It's all there at LandryFootball.com. Chris, let's jump back into talk about on the field, and that's a little refreshing. Let's start with Clemson and the fact that we have gotten used to them just funneling, you know, NFL players off that defense every single draft. And all right, next man up. One of those could be Darian Kendrick, one of the corners there. And last year he was a big revelation, and he wasn't even the first round draft pick this year.
Yeah, no, he's had a graded out very well last year, and you know, he's a former receiver. He's got really good ball skills. And I've always liked being able to take guys that in this receiver age, you have a lot of those guys with length, and you can convince them that, you know, you make a lot of money probably quicker going to the other side of the ball. And absolutely. And he's just really, I got a lot of ball skills. He's got good length. He's got good, a quick twitch ability, can bend very well. Really good player, and no question that he's going to be one of the better players for them and in that league and around the country covering. He's one of the better guys that could make a huge jump this year.
All right, now you got to have the horses. I know all of that. And maybe the 2018 defensive line at Clemson, it might have been as great a defensive line as I've seen in college football, maybe. And so I know what Venables is working with, but it's also the X's and O's. It's also the approach, the mentality, the coaching, the technique. Give me the dossier on his coaching style and also his, you know, X's and O's, but also his coaching style, personality wise. Why does his way consistently work?
Brent Venables, you're talking
yeah.
about. He's very creative. Okay, that's a general statement, specifically what he does. He will take whatever that strength is. We just talked about it, you know, with Dan Mullen. But with him, defensively, he'll take three defensive linemen, two defensive linemen, and he'll have multiple linebackers. And, again, you can do this when you have a lot of talent, but this is all part of the process. They recruit guys, put guys in a position to where the best guys are on the field more often than not. So they're very, very creative with personnel groupings. That's the first thing. And you know that when you've got personnel, sometimes it's young and it's a little bit stronger in some areas. But I do think the front four is going to be a lot better, because even though they got to replace three of the four starters in the secondary, I think the linebackers, Simmons, I think they've got some guys that have played very, very well up front that can be really good. Xavier Thomas is one of the more talented players and can be a really good player. I think Davis is really good and inside and can push the pocket. I think the Miles Murphy kid, and they've got a couple of guys that can be really young impact guys that we don't know enough about how they look in college, but just looking at it from a scouting standpoint, they've got the goods, and it's certainly how they utilize them. I think they're going to have five or six guys that are going to be real impactful, and I think they'll go eight deep that they'll rotate as they normally do and be pretty good. Experience-wise, that'll take a little bit more time, but that's part of what they have an advantage on, is that when they play some of those young guys and they're running around and they're making some mistakes, it's not going to cost them against Georgia Tech or even against Louisville or Akron or Virginia or BC, even Florida State or NC State. I mean, it's you know, the toughest game they probably play. It might be at Florida State, at Notre Dame. You know, I mean, they just can work young guys in. So that's why replacing guys and getting them ready to go is not that difficult a deal for a Clemson or really anybody in the ACC, with them being the only elite program now, as opposed to trying to do it in the SEC.
Yeah, and, you know, while I think that, you know, Louisville and Florida State, Louisville probably more so this season, at least for one more year than FSU, but they're both teams on the rise who may, you know, get to the point where they can challenge Clemson. I still think that, you know, 2020 is essentially a regular season pass into the ACC title game. All right, well, who out of the Coastal? You know, Sam Howell gets a lot of attention, and he should. He was a true freshman and a stud. The receivers, they should. Talk about Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, because they did a whole lot of work last year for that offense, and we all just looked at the true freshman quarterback in Uden Gude all season.
Well, no, I think that's a really good point. We tend to, you know, to focus on a couple of guys that names are really prominent, but then it's really the other guys that I think that step up. I think both of those guys are really very talented. I think could have a huge impact this season. I think that it's part of when I look at them and say what's happening in Chapel Hill is that they've got a lot of young players, and that's why I tend to focus on them a little bit more, in that they've played a lot of young guys, and they're talented and they're experienced, and they look like the team perhaps to beat. I think Miami can play with them talent-wise, but I want to see the discipline. I don't think Virginia Tech's there. That's what North Carolina's done. Carter's an outstanding back. I mean, Williams is an outstanding back. I like the receivers. I think they've got three receivers that can play. I think this has a chance to be really good offense. I mean, like really good, like a team that could be maybe top 15 in the country type looking good. And with Howell, who knows? And, you know, they were a team that played with a lot of confidence and a lot of gusto last year that gave Clemson so much trouble and almost beat them, because Clemson didn't play well and North Carolina played free. I think this year, obviously, they don't play one another, those two teams, this year, at least in the right season. So that's why I kind of think they're the favorite, at least from a talent standpoint and what we've seen, how it's come together. That makes the most sense, because, I mean, who else can you make a case for other than Miami's talent?
Last question, and I'm going to go as far outside the ACC and SEC as you can. Let's go up to Oregon, and I want you to talk about one guy on each side of the ball. Folks have no idea how really, really good C.J. Verdell is. Not the biggest kid in the world, but I don't care about that. This is college football. And then on the defensive side, their secondary is loaded. I think they got two senior NFL players at cornerback. I think they've got a senior big size on the inside on the defensive line, but Kayvon Thibodeau on the edge. Talk about Verdell and then the sophomore edge.
Well, you know, I said that, and I know people are rightly so are down on the Pac-12 and down on Oregon and not being able to finish the deal. There is every reason to believe that at least how they played last year and how they looked they were every bit not deserving because they didn't take care of the business, but every bit as talented as, say, in Oklahoma. So meaning a team that can make the playoffs, don't know that they were good enough to advance. I think they lose some key guys, but you just hit on it. Verdell is a great offensive line. I thought it was the best offensive line in college football last year. They lose a couple of key guys. They can run the football. Mario's done a great job. It's the one team that is really, really a good line of scrimmage team out west. I mean, they're deep. They're talented. Verdell is really as quick as a hiccup, and he is just the stop-start quickness, the balance, the playmaking in the open field. Love the entire secondary. Love the safeties. Love the corners in particular. I think that Graham and Lenore are big time. But Wright is a guy to keep an eye out for, a young guy that's really got a lot of ability that I think is going to be a really good player. They can line up, as you often have to do in the Pac-12, play a lot of nickel, a lot of dime looks. They can line up and cover you and match up and pattern match as good as anybody in that league. That's been the most impressive, you know, how they recruit, how they're getting things done. It should be USC. It has been Oregon out west. And they are a team that is, you know, a fringe playoff team. If somebody's going to come out of it out west in a normal year, which just won't be, it's Oregon. That's the one team that looks like a team that's close to being a playoff team.
All right, last thing I'm going to ask you about, and brother, it's rare when we go here, but talk about the Wisconsin quarterback. I didn't think Jack Cohen was going to get the job last year, but Jack Cohen has actually, he was part of why they were winning. And most of the time for Wisconsin quarterback, this is no, you know, disrespect to Jim Sorgi or whomever, but hand the ball off, carry out your fake. That's about 70% of what you do, and they were taking advantage of Cohen last year.
No question about it. And look, remember this, the whole story, and I knew he wasn't going to, you know, probably factor in, but they recruited a really good kid, the Merch kid last year from Kansas. And, you know, that's not what they do over there. It's a developmental program. Until you're developed, you may be a four-star kid, young man, but you're not seeing the field. Jack is what they do. Jack Cohen's really a good decision maker. You know, it's a good offensive line. They run the football well. They are very physical and well coached on defense. That's a line of scrimmage league and a tough one, and they play tough football. So at the quarterback position, you've got to be able to spread the ball around there. You know, get it to the open receiver, which they don't have a ton of playmakers there, but they usually have good tight ends and guys that can beat you in the open field against the defenders, deep defenders in that conference. So I think he's really, really bright. I think he's kind of the typical guy that they've had there for a while. And, you know, I think they lose a couple of playmakers, they lose a couple of offensive linemen, but having him back is really good. And I'm excited to see what the Merch kid could do, because he has ability to do things that none of the Wisconsin quarterbacks has. He has more natural ability as Cohen, but Cohen is really, really a heady quarterback and a good decision maker, and gets him out of trouble a lot at the line of scrimmage.
Ain't no doubt about that. Hey, man, always appreciate it. We will do it again in 7 days, Chris.
Hey, look forward to it, buddy.
All right, Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com.